Wow. See why we like to have testimonies? I was getting all teary-eyed over the fingernail polish there, Charles. Praise the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy upon us. Lord, as we just are encouraged by hearing Charles's testimony, Lord, of how you touched him, Lord, how you've redeemed him, restored his life, his marriage, his family. You've given him a hope, Lord. You've given him a future in you. And Father, that promise holds true for every single one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can search that out through your scriptures, through your word. And so, Father, as we consider your word, as we open it up here this morning, as your people, Father, I pray that our hearts would be pricked. I pray that our minds would be set. I pray, Lord, that our spirits, our souls, our whole lives, every fiber of our being, Lord, would be encouraged, Lord, to not only receive, but to do, Lord, what your word is instructing us to do. And so, Lord, speak to us with clarity here this morning. We love you. We pray for a fresh outpouring of your spirit now. Be glorified and exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we open up, please, to the book of James in chapter number 1. James, who's writing this, is the brother of Jesus. That's always cool when I share that, especially when I go to high school Bible clubs that I get to do, and I say, yeah, Jesus' brother wrote this, and a lot of the students kind of trip out and look at me like, are you kidding me? I'm going, oh, yeah, Jesus had a family. Obviously, so this is his half-brother, James, who's writing this. And the book of James, I love James and going through it, and it's very practical. You know, how many times have I or have you gone to YouTube and the first few words that you type in and the search there for YouTube is how to, right? Have you guys done that before? You know, how to do this, how to do that, you know. Well, you know, it's almost as if James is like that. How to be a Christian, how to live a life as a believer is very practical in that sense. And some of the things that James deals with, even in chapter number 1, is how to receive trials as a believer, as a Christian. How do we pray without doubting? We don't doubt in our prayer life, but we seek the Lord and we believe in complete faith. Resisting temptation. I love the in chapter number 1 also is be quick to listen and slow to speak. And these are all practical things that we do and how to live as a believer, as a Christian. And in chapter number 1, we're going to be looking at verses number 21 through 25 here this morning. And so let's go ahead and read this together. And this is what it says. Verse number 21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Being a doer of the word. You know, with the One Step to Freedom ministry that we get to do, and as you go through the curriculum, and, you know, you can either look at the curriculum online or just get copies of it or whatever, you'll find that in the curriculum, there's no philosophy of man. There's no good ideas that we have of to help someone get clean and sober. We know, like, okay, well, hey, go and do this or go and do that because we think this is a good idea. You won't find any of that in the curriculum. What you will find, however, is the Word of God. Is God's Word It's basically what we do is we'll take a section of the scriptures and we kind of just copied and pasted and put it on this on a worksheet, and we kind of give a simple explanation of things, maybe some definitions of Greek terms to help people understand better what the word is saying. And then we just ask a simple question like, okay, what did verse number 3 say? And so what that person does is they go to verse number 3 and it says, well, it says this. Well, write that down. And so we try to make it very simple. But what you'll find as you go through all 7 of those chapters in the One Step to Freedom curriculum, that it's all biblical. There is no good ideas. Why is it only all biblical? Why don't we have any good ideas? Why don't we use philosophy of man? Why don't we use some of those, things that maybe the world uses? I'll tell you why. It's because it doesn't work. It's Jesus. It's His word. And the only way that a person's life will be transformed and changed is if they hear the word, but if they apply the word in their life. If that means being a doer of the word. And that's what the One Step to Freedom curriculum, that's what we try to encourage. That's what we exhort those who come into our groups, and whether they're in the small groups or in the big setting, we exhort them, do the word of God, because that is when you're going to see your life begin to change and transform. And that's exactly what James is telling us right here, right? And he says in verse number 21, he starts off and he says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Lay it all aside. To put off, to take it off. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians in chapter number 4. Listen to what Paul writes here in chapter number 4 of Ephesians. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That you put off. Now, this whole idea of the putting off and the putting on is as if you're just completely taking, all that the filthiness, your old life and everything, just completely taking it off and just putting on Jesus. And here James, he says, to lay it aside, to lay all these things aside. You know, we don't just add Jesus to our life, but it's a completeness. We completely want God to govern our hearts, God to govern our minds. And this is something that's not so easy for us to do in our human nature, in our fallen nature, in our sinful nature. It's not so easy to do. Why? It's because we battle with our flesh. We battle with our flesh. And so here he says to put off or to lay it completely aside. And he says to lay the filthiness. The filthiness is all of the impurity of our life, spiritually, physical, and mental, to lay all that aside. So that filthiness is all the impurities of our lives. And you guys know what that is for you in your own personal life, all the stuff and the filthiness in your own life, whether it be spiritual, physical, or mental. You know, the filthy thoughts that maybe you want that once governed your mind. You know, the things that you used to do that were just filthy and raunchy and just bad and evil. You know, you don't do those things. Lay that aside. You know, spiritually, how you used to think of things and how you used to be, your own heart would be governed, in a spiritual way. Just lay all that filthiness aside. And he says also, not only the filthiness, but he says to lay aside also the overflow of wickedness. You know, the overflow, meaning that abundance, just this overflowing in your life, to lay aside the overflow of wickedness. Wickedness, what is that? The evil ways. Your evil ways, or, and when I think of evil ways and, that overflow of wickedness in my own personal life, I often think of my past, of how I used to live and how I used to behave and what my life was like at one time, and just to lay all of that aside, that overflow of wickedness, when I think of my old life and how I used to live, that's exactly what it was. There was nothing good in it. It was all selfish. It was all wicked. It was all evil. It was all for one purpose, and that was to feed me and to forget everybody else. It was, everybody else had come second. It was all about me, you know, and what I wanted to do. And it didn't matter what I did or how I did it, as long as I got what I wanted to do. And you see, in that kind of behavior, that is wicked. That is evil. That's not godly at all. You see? And we have to lay all of these things aside. Now, keep in mind, as James is writing this, who is James writing to? James is writing to believers. He's writing to the churches that are scattered. He's writing to men and women who love God, who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so this is who he's writing to. He's writing to believers. And he's going on and he's telling believers, hey, lay aside the filthiness and the wickedness of your life. Why is he writing this letter and telling them to lay aside the filthiness and the wickedness? It's because that's how they're living. They're living being, you know, in the filthiness and the wickedness of their life. And he's saying, hey, lay that aside. Don't live like that any longer. That is not who God wants you to be. Lay it all aside. Because when you lay all of that aside and you're not governed by the filthiness, you're not governed by the wickedness or in the overflow of the wickedness in your life, it'll make it that much easier for you to receive. To receive what? To receive the word of God, the implanted word. But he also tells us of how we ought to receive this. We just don't receive it like, okay, you know, I got it, whatever. It's we receive with meekness. What does that mean? What does that tell us? What is he trying to communicate here to the people that he's writing this letter to of how to receive the implanted word? He's saying receive it with meekness. Basically, what he's saying is with humility, with a humble heart. And here this idea of receiving with meekness has the idea of being teachable, a heart that is open to spiritual correction. Being teachable. Having a heart, having a life that is open and willing and ready to receive spiritual correction in your life. Correction. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be corrected all the time. It's just me, I guess. You know, it's like, oh, Tommy, you were wrong. Again? You know, and it's just like, I don't like it. I don't think there's really not that many people who are like, yes, I got corrected today. You know, guess what, sweetheart? What happened at work today? I got corrected again. You know, it's just like, well, there's not that kind of an excitement. You know, it's usually what happens is like, hey, you know, what happened today at work? Oh, I don't really want to talk about it, you know. Well, what happened? Well, this, you know, my boss called me in and I got corrected again. Well, you know, and it's just like, well, how are we receiving that? We have to receive it with humility. You see, so it's hard for us to receive oftentimes correction. But when we receive correction with a humble heart, especially when it comes to the point of you and I living our life to glorify the Lord, living our life to exemplify what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, hey, you shouldn't be doing this any longer. You know, you shouldn't be speaking like that and using that kind of language that much in your life or at all, really. If you're using foul language, don't use that language anymore. Well, I'm just trying to identify, man, and build a bridge with these guys over here. It doesn't mean you have to use foul language. You know, man, the best way to build that bridge is, yeah, to be there, to show up, but to be a faithful man or a faithful woman of God, and you watch and see how God will just begin to draw people. You see, so when you receive a word of correction in your life, friends, be receptive to it. Receive it with meekness because there God is then going to begin to grow your life and mature your life as you grow and move with God. And notice he says that this word is implanted. It is implanted in us. You see, and so it's not easy. It's not easy always to receive a word of correction. You know, many people say they know the word. Well, I know the word and I know what it says, you know, but when they're confronted or they're, you know, there's a word of rebuke or reproof, you know, they don't want to receive it. You know, it's like, hey, man, who do you think you are? I'm taking offense to what you're telling me right now. It's like, I'm sorry, bro, but I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what I see, and this is what's going on. You know, I've had encounters like that before, and it breaks my heart. You know, it breaks my heart when I see someone receive maybe a word of correction and a reproof. And listen, if don't feel like, okay, well, I got to go and rebuke people now. You know, I got to go. It's time for me to correct some people. No, it really needs, that needs to be prayed through. You need to really pray that through if you're feeling led to do something like that. And I would always encourage you, go to a faithful man or a faithful woman, go to your pastor and say, hey, this is what I've been seeing over here in this person's life, and I don't know what to do. I feel like God maybe wants me to say something, but I don't know if I should. Do that. Just don't, please, don't go and begin to correct people and say you got a new ministry. No. Okay? Go, and it needs to be prayed through, because it needs to be godly, because when it's under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that is when it is received, okay? And the reason why many people don't want to receive a word of correction or that reproof or that rebuke or whatever it is one word, and here it is, it's because of pride. It's because of pride. Pride, you know, that people don't want to receive that word of correction because of pride, you know, and it's God responds to the humble heart. Listen to what Psalm 25, verse 9, it says this: the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. You see, the word being planted in our hearts is what changes us. And we need to be humble and receptive. The word of God changes us. It changes our whole outlook on life. Amen? Doesn't the word of God do that? Isn't God's word mighty and powerful and just changing everything? You know, not just our life, but it changes, you know, how we think and our outlook on life and how, you know, the things that we want to do now, you know, the places we want to go. It's like, okay, we want to go and do this. It's like, you know, one of the first things that we think of is like, I wonder if we can share the word of God over there effectively. You know, whether it's on vacation or something, it's always the word of God is always the center. It's like we want to, you know, be ministers of the word of God. And why is that? It's because the word of God is now in us, is now in you. Many of you can probably identify and say, yes, man, it's a trip. Everywhere I go, I just want to talk about God. Praise God. Keep doing that. You see, but it's really important that we keep on doing that. For Christian growth, we need the word of God in us. You want to grow as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need the word of God in you. And for us to receive, we must get rid of all of the filthiness and the wickedness, okay? So if you want to grow, which I believe every single one of us in here do, I pray to God that every single one of us wants to continue to grow as a faithful believer of Jesus Christ. You must receive the word of God with meekness. And for you to receive, you need to let go and lay aside the filthiness and the wickedness. Because check it out, if you haven't laid it aside, it's basically your hands are full of filthiness and wickedness. And how then can you receive the word of God with meekness, right? Because your hands, your life is full of wickedness and filthiness. And so this is why James said he laid it aside. So now you're ready to receive and be receptive to what God wants to do in your life. And then in verse 22, he says, to lay all these things aside, receive with meekness the implanted word of God, okay, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be a doer. Don't just receive it and listen to it and hear it. And okay, I got the word of God. We need to be doing the word of God. A doer of the word of God, someone who is doing the word of God, that's the earmark of a person who is a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Someone who is applying the word of God. Someone who is doing the word of God. It doesn't mean you're a perfect person. It doesn't mean you're a perfect woman or a perfect man. And oh, look at me. I'm the perfect example of Jesus now, or of Christian. You know, no, it just means, hey, I'm doing the word of God. I'm desiring to exemplify Christ in my life as I do and put my hands to the plow and do what God is instructing me to do this very day. It's not enough for us to only receive the word. We must obey it. There should never be a time when we read the word of God. There should never be a time when you open up the word of God and then you examine it, you read it, and you're like, okay, cool. you know, there should be some change. There should be some growth in there. There should be some deeper passion. You know, as Charles was saying this morning, as he was like, oh, man, you know, the Lord speak to me. And he opened up, you know, that the scripture there and Peter, you know, and just spoke to him and gave him courage and gave him, you know, encouragement and a desire and a passion to want to be here. As he was thinking of all the excuses of not to be here, the Lord spoke to him. You see, that's growth right there. See, every time we open up the Word of God, we should be growing as we do and exercise the Word of God, you see? And that is the only way you're going to grow in your life and in your Christian walk, is if you are doing and applying the Word of God. That's how you want to grow, right? Or that's how we do grow. Well, that's how we, you know, I think of physically, in a physical way, with exercise and people who go to gyms and all that stuff. You know, they just don't go buy a, you know, a pair of Nike, you know, shoes and a sweatband and everything and get some weight gloves on and they just get their membership to 24-hour fitness and there they are. All right. I showed up to the gym. I was there for a whole hour. You know? Then they walk out and do nothing. Right? It's like, no, they go in there, at least they're supposed to go in there and actually do some work, you know, and get on that treadmill and go lift some of those weights and do these exercises and all these other things. And then what's going to happen in months later, you're going to see some results. Like, hey, you've been running, haven't you? You've been doing this, haven't you? You're like, well, yeah, kind of, you know. Don't do that. Anyways. But you guys, you understand what I'm saying, though. Right? You got to do the work to grow. Well, it's the same way. And more importantly, as a believer, as a Christian, as someone who is saying, yes, I want God to change my life. I'm here to celebrate Him. I'm here to worship Him on a Sunday morning. I'm here to get into the Word of God just so that what, you know, is just so we can sit in the chairs. You know, and it's like, hey, good word, brother. I got my Bible, you know, and I got my church clothes on. And here I am, I've sat down and I've listened, and then you go back to your workplace, you go back to your homes, you go back into your families and everything, and it's like, well, hey, didn't you go to church? You know, it's almost as if you're coming back from the gym and you're like, hey, didn't you go to the gym? You're like, yeah. Well, how come you're not sweating? Yeah, I didn't do nothing, you know? You see, listen, we need to be doers of the word. You know, and that's awesome when we see when there's a body of believers when they come together. And don't think you have to have like, you know, this, you know, a PhD and theology and all these other things. You know, you got to be a doctorate of theology or you just have to have a passion. Have a passion for God, be in His Word and get some clarity. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of help in the children's ministry that they have need of. You know, with the VBS and, you know, even tonight there's going to be something and there's going to be an opportunity where you can say, oh, I don't know, but I want to do the word. I want to, maybe I can help and watch the kids while other people be blessed, or I can do this. Maybe I can ask Pastor Pete, you know, what he might need around the church or whatever it is. And just do the word. Put your hands to the plow. Be excited. Get passionate about serving God and doing God, because then you will truly see in your own individual life, as a man, as a woman of God, your life just growing. You know, maybe some of you have been thinking about, maybe I can be an usher or a greeter. Stop thinking and start doing. Just do it and just say, hey, I want to be an usher. It's not that hard. You know, I don't think it is. You know, you just kind of usher. Basically, just, you know, hey, smile and do whatever needs to get done. Pick up some trash, you know? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So we have to exercise the Word of God in our lives. But the most important place where we get to exercise God's Word and do God's Word is not so much in the church where it is truly needed. Yes, it is. And that's a fun place to exercise God's Word and to apply God's Word. But the most important place where you as an individual can exercise and do the Word of God is in your home, is in your marriage. That is the most important place where you and I get to exercise God's word. Husbands, God says in his word for us to love our wives as Christ loves the church. That's something we get to do. We get to do the word of God right there. And see, some of the wives are like, uh-huh, preach it, brother. Hey, listen, just do the word. Do the word. And you watch and see as men, as husbands, we have the privilege of leading our wives, of leading our homes. It is a privilege. Don't look at it so much as a responsibility, but as a privilege. God has given that to us. We need to receive that privilege with passion, with a passionate desire to do the word of God and to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And we need to do that with humility. With humility, because when it's done in humility, it's just received and God is glorified. Because God, number one, he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So we need to behave with humility and doing all these things. See, we need to be a doer of the word. I think Jesus, he says it really well in Matthew in chapter 7, in verse 24, as he concludes the great Sermon on the Mount. There Jesus, he says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Jesus says he's going to liken that person who does the word of God like the wise man who builds his house there on the rock. And Jesus goes later, he goes on to say that, you know, there's the foolish guy who just hears the word, who just hears these sayings, but he doesn't do it. He's like the guy who's going to build his house on the sand, and when the storm comes, it's going to be wiped out. You know, and yeah, I've gone to the beach before with my kids and everything, and they want to build those little beach sand castles. You know, you get the bucket and you get the thing and whatever, you know, and build a little sand castle, and the wave comes and pff, it wipes everything out, right? Well, that, you know, that's like the foolish man saying, "I know what God's word says." But they don't do it. And when the storm comes, when trials come in your life, in my life, trials do come, correct? They say, you know, we all have trials, man. We all go through stuff. We all go through our circumstances. We all have our challenges. We all go through things in life. And if your life is being built on the word of God and you are like what Jesus says, you're the one doing it. Hey, you're going to be like the wise guy. Not the wise guy like how, anyways. You're going to be the wise man, Jesus says, who's built his house on the rock, because it's going to come. Trials, circumstances, challenges. You know, your heart's going to hurt. You know, you're going to ask a lot of questions, and that's okay. But if your house is built on that rock because you're doing the word of God, man, it's not going to go anywhere. You're going to stand. God, you're going to be sustained. Why? The word of God. All because of the word of God. And then James goes on to say in verse 23 through 25, he says this, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer," trip out on this, I like this part. If anyone who hears a word and he doesn't do it, he says, "This guy is like the man who observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." That's kind of trippy. You know, "but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," I knew I had to look behind me. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." You know, that word observing there in the here in the word right here has the idea of you know, of careful scrutiny, of just, you know, this intentional look very close, not just a glance in a mirror, you know, as right before you walking out the door, you kind of glance at yourself, you know. It's not that kind of a glancing. It's this careful examination. Scrutiny means a searching examination or investigation, minute inquiry. You know, it's just this careful look. You know, and some of you maybe, you know, maybe have the mirror like really close, you know, and you're like, you know, I've seen this with, you know, people driving down the street, mostly women. you know, and they got this mirror. They got their mirror right there, and they're, you know, putting on their makeup. It's funny. Every time I see it, they have a weird face. You know? You know? It's like, why do they got to make that face? Anyways. You know, but that's that careful look. You know, oh, the eyelash is stuck. You know, and I've seen women also get like a needle to like undo their eyelashes. That's crazy. You know how close that is to your eyeball? Don't do that. It makes me nervous. Well, anyways, it's that careful look, you know. And James right here, he's saying, hey, the person, you know, who just hears the word and doesn't do it is like the man who, is like the person who goes in front of the mirror and has this careful look, you know, this careful scrutiny and just looking at himself or herself and then kind of walking away and be like, did I have blonde hair? Am I bald? You know, it's like, wait a minute, you know, what color was my skin again? You know, and wanting to go and look, well, you know, hey, you know, is this, what's going on here? You know, and that's just a weird thing. Well, here James is saying, hey, that person who doesn't do the word, but hears it in the church. Remember, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who go to church. And he's saying, hey, you're just a doer of the word. You're like that guy. You're just a hearer of the word. You're like that guy who's going in front of the mirror and forgets exactly what he looks like. See, now that's why maybe you can understand when in the beginning when I just read that right now, I said, I like this part. I think it's crazy, you know, because I don't want to forget what I look like. I think I know what I look like, you know. And I do know also that a mirror serves a purpose. It also serves a purpose. You see, so if we're hearing the word, but if your life is still a mess, not the trials and the circumstances you go through, because we're going to go through those regardless. But what I'm saying is your life is a mess emotionally and spiritually, and you're just, because of the decisions maybe that you're making and everything, it's because you're just hearing the word. It's just because you're hearing the word. You're not doing the word. That is why your life is a mess. That is why you keep making the mistakes maybe that you're making and all the decisions that you're making. It's because you have not chosen to do the word of God. We need to do the word of God. We need to go to the mirror of God's word, if you will, and allow God's word to begin to correct us and the life that we are living and help us with the decisions that we're making. Again, mirrors serve a good purpose. They do. They're a purpose of correction. Before you go out, you know, and you're combing your hair, you're doing whatever it is, and, you know, you find you got that alfalfa thing sticking up, you know. You get some more gel in that thing and put that thing down, right? And you have used the mirror to help you to do that, to help correct the problem. You go out after you're having some, you know, some salsa or something like that, and you got a big old giant piece of cilantro stuck in your tooth right here. It's happened to me, you know? And then you're just like, oh, wait, let me check my teeth. And you look, and oh, wow, you get that thing off, right? It serves as a correction. It's going to help correct the problem, you see? So when we go to God's word, allow God's word to correct that thinking, because the enemy is going to want to attack our minds. And when we go into God's word, we see God just using his word to correct that, so that we, and then we apply that and we do it. You see, because here he says, but he, verse 25, check it out. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. You want to be blessed in what you do? You want to be blessed in your life? Do the word of God. Please, friends, don't just show up. Don't just show up and highlight some verses. Do the word of God. Be a doer, not a hearer only. Do God's word. Live it. And you watch and see how your life as an individual will grow and be blessed. And it'll just be awesome. It'll be beautiful. It'll be beautiful because people will then be looking at your life and say, hey, aren't you going through a lot of things right now? And, you know, and they'll just question, you know, look at what's going on. And you're like, yeah, because I'm doing God's word. I'm just doing it. See, God is good. Amen? And he gives us the ability to do his word. Because aside from the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can't do it. We need God's Spirit. We need his love. We need to be born again. We're believers in Jesus Christ as we put our faith in him. And then he gives us his word that we might do it and be blessed even more. Isn't that a great thing? Lord, we love you.